This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
The Bear is about 30 minutes away from being on the program.
All right. Look forward to it. I knew this would bounce, this would always happen on our show, and now we can kind of connect the dots. 92 in the Ann Margaret picture. My buddy Sonny Siler, that's Smiley Gephardt, who was a great football player at Georgia Tech. I just didn't pick up on it. That's Smiley Gephardt, 92, who unfortunately passed away way too young.
Oh, man.
But Smiley Kaufman, the golfer, is named after Smiley Gephardt.
How about that?
So, anyway, Smiley Lee Gephardt, who was from Mississippi, great football player during Georgia Tech's independence days. You know, remember, they were an independent after leaving the SEC before they joined the ACC. Go ahead.
I also noticed that the ring that Ann Margaret is wearing is still smaller.
Than Katie George?
Than Katie George.
It is, yes. Thank you.
I just want to point that out.
Well done. Thank you. Thanks to my buddy Sonny Siler for noting that for me. All right. Conference cuts. You ready?
Oh, I have been waiting almost a year for conference cuts. I love listening to coaches.
It's a staple in the fall.
It is.
And we got some of your favorites on here today.
You got my man Fuente on there? Huh?
I don't know yet. I just don't know
yet. All right, just asking.
I just don't know. May not be time for that just yet. You've had a lot today. We've had some Danny Ford, a lot of Danny Ford. We've had a lot of Frank Howard. I just don't know we need Fuente today. May have
just
to
asking. All right, let me see him.
Mike Norvell at the microphone first, folks, and says he's seeing things out of his team that haven't necessarily been the norm in recent years.
I think the explosive plays offensively that showed up, I mean, that was good. I mean, there was times that we were able to push the ball down the field, and it's something that throughout practice, I mean, it's been hit and miss, but I thought there were some good opportunities there. Really trying to work to establish the run game. I think those guys have, they're buying in to who we are and the identity we're trying to form. Defensively, we still had our explosive plays. We talked about that right after. There were some times where we didn't communicate as well as we needed to, or probably didn't use the proper techniques of what needed to show up in the moment that allowed some of the bigger plays. But I think our guys, like I said, it wasn't from a lack of effort and competitive spirit. I mean, our guys. I thought they really they battled. It felt like football, and there's been times in the last year and a half where it hasn't. And it's good to see our guys really responding and pushing themselves throughout this camp and in the scrimmage the other night.
The Noles opener is a really intriguing game, right? I'm curious to see what Notre Dame looks like after all the seniors they lost from a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I know Cohn just got announced as their starting quarterback by Brian Kelly, and I'm fascinated to see what Florida State looks like. It's going to be filled up. It's going to be rocking and rolling. You've got, the loss of Bobby Bowden. You wonder about the emotion in that building that night, prime time, under the lights. Anticipation of Florida State being better than they were a year ago. Coach sounds upbeat on that cut. Who knows? Again, the first week of the season is really the weirdest one because you just have no idea what you're going to get.
You're right.
And there will be surprises.
Uh-huh. Let's go to Chestnut Hill. Jeff Hafley at the microphone says that he's been pleasantly surprised by one area in particular so far.
The one thing I thought we actually did really well today in the scrimmage, we ran the ball really well. And obviously that starts up front, and we should run the ball really well because, we have a really good offensive line, great scheme. I thought that sink looked good today. Trav had a couple good runs. Pat had a huge run, and X looked really quick. You have a lot of competition there. And we'll continue that competition. And then truthfully, we're going to play them all, right? Who's the first and second down guy? Who's the third down guy? What does this guy do best? Do we have two back sets? Can we get three guys in at the same time? So that's our job as coaches to try to figure that out. But they look good today. They did a good job. I'm excited to watch the tape because I thought they made some really good cuts and looked explosive.
Got to watch that tape. Alex Sinkfield, by the way, is transferred from West Virginia.
Right. And about a couple things there. The fact that Jeff Hafley's talking about running the football and looking good.
That's dangerous.
I think that if you're a BC fan, you've got to be salivating because with Dracovic and the collection of wide receivers that they've got, they're going to throw it and they're going to be effective doing it. And if coach is talking about, hey, my line looks good and we got dudes making plays already, running the football.
Right.
That is the balance you've been looking for. BC is going to be a problem. Now, the question I still have for him is the defensive side. Will they have improvement? I think they will. Jeff Hafley's a defensive coach. And the third point I'd make is that sweatshirt is sweet. That is clean. That's a clean look for BC. Why are you laughing at me? You didn't like that look?
The double X, send two. I liked it. Send two.
Hey, Pat Kraft knows the address.
Pat, we need
two. I think
two.
That's a good look.
It's a good-looking shirt,
it's
Pat.
It's clean. You know, yep. It kind of looks like BC, right? No frills. You know what it is. You
black
see it?
With the gold.
I think it's a good touch. I'm just saying. Looks good.
All right. Shilling for gear.
I'm not shilling for gear, but I just thought that looked good. I loved what Coach said, and Coach looked good doing it.
There you go.
Big fan of Jeff Hafley.
Manny Diaz is next, and he shared the message with the media that he gave his team after their scrimmage over the weekend.
Well, I told the team we've practiced 9 times. There's evidence on what both sides of the ball that this could be an outstanding football team. But there's also evidence on both sides of the ball that we're not quite there yet. You know, so you know we've hit them all at camp that greatness comes from being consistently good.
Like that, man.
You know, so you know you're always gonna have that tug of war during camp. You know, where one day the defense edges it, the next day the offense edges it. When we're both executing and playing at that high level. I think that's what this week is going to be about. Like, let's take
that
next step and not be satisfied with being good. You know, we think greatness is available.
Old school hat.
So far, the league has upgraded their merchandise.
Practice gear looks good, doesn't it?
I thought that was a good look, too, for the U.
Looking good.
I'm looking forward to watching Monday night, going behind the scenes.
Oh, all access with, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
Yeah. Coach Diaz looked like he had a tracker up there on the collar.
I got one around my ankle.
I bet you do.
You know why?
That's why you can't go anywhere.
No, ACC Network strapped a thing around my ankle.
Make sure
you are never leaving the basement.
Never leaving the basement.
We're
going
to allow you on Thursday, September 2nd, and then you go back home and never leave again until we tell you.
That's it.
SiriusXM is even in agreement. Yeah. We are not letting Pack leave his home ever again.
Next stop on Conference Cuts, David Cutcliffe in Durham. Duke, of course, is the only school that doesn't bring back a quarterback that started at least 2 ball games a year ago. But so far, Coach Cut likes what he sees out of Gunnar Holmberg.
I thought it was good. I thought he put the ball where it was catchable. I thought he,
CBS
managed to get the ball thrown on time. That's a big part when people say connecting with receivers. One of the biggest issues, and I see it in the National Football League, maybe as much as anywhere, is the timing mechanism of all of it. Is receivers being ready when the quarterback expects them to be ready and being on the same page. And we worked very hard at that particular thing. And I thought for the most part that was really good tonight. And I thought Gunner again, and we met this morning and talked about this game and what we needed to do to be successful tonight. I thought he really took that to heart tonight.
What's News 17 doing trying to squeeze into our ACC network coverage there? Hey, News 17, I know you're probably up there in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill.
Market.
Understand something.
New CBS affiliate because Channel 5 used to be CBS.
Okay, great. We'll get that News 17 thing out of the way. This is ACC network, right? Network. Let me emphasize the word network. By the way, Cut looks good.
Yeah.
Right? I know the tour zipped in Durham a couple weeks ago.
Early stop.
Coach looks good.
Yep. Jeff Collins is next. Now, you'll get more tonight on the road trip. You know the gear is going to be good here, don't you?
Of course. And the backdrop.
He says the program is all about culture, and so far he's very pleased with how their newcomers are fitting in.
They've been absolutely amazing, just aligning perfectly with the culture and then actually elevating it in some cases by telling stories about how good you know, what we do, and it's the right process and the right things. It's been powerful. We've had some times throughout preseason camp that some guys have shared from experiences of being at other places and how it's so good to be in a program and in a locker room and around a bunch of guys that want to be great, that want to take the next step in the development of the program, but are still good dudes and want what's best for everybody. It's a positive environment. So that's been really good.
More from Georgia Tech tonight, but good to see the Georgia Tech marketing and sales department got the renewal with BMW. Outstanding work. I like sales departments that roll up their sleeves and get after. That's what Jeff Collins is doing. Again, more about the Jackets tonight right here on ACC Network.
You like the quarter zip, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
So far, the merchandise has been outstanding.
All right.
Showcasing by the head coaches so far.
Here we go.
So far.
Dave Doran wraps up our premier edition of Conference Cuts.
Okay.
Defense returns 10 of 11 starters. And he notes you can tell the type of continuity his team has on that side of the ball.
You know, the continuity of player experience and coach, you know, they're all with the same coaches on defense that they had a year before, same system, same terminology, and playing next to the same player in many cases. That's helped them play faster. I think there's trust. There's built experience. Not that we're playing perfect football, we're not. There's a lot of things we got to do better, but they are playing fast. And what I've seen is they're spending more time talking about the situation. Maybe it's third and long, they're talking about that down and distance, or it's red zone and they're talking about the field position, or they're talking about the offensive sets. They're talking about the other side of the ball instead of, you know, when you're just getting into a defense where you're just getting with a player that hadn't played with you, you're talking about what's the call again? You know, where do I line up? And we're not having those conversations with the ones, and most of the time not with the twos.
NC State flying right underneath the radar. Can't find them in any preseason top 25 right. poll. I think they're a top 20 team. They've got a huge game there. Like I said, at Mississippi State is the first chance to make some noise. I think NC State's dangerous.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right, let's go back to the ESPN.com coaches top 100 that Bill Connelly and their group put together. We stopped at George Welsh 64 or 3 rather. We pick it back up at 50 because number 50 on the list is John Majors. God bless him. Passed away 45-45-1 in two stints at Pittsburgh. The one from 73 to 76, a little more noteworthy than the 93 to 96.
Yeah, that national championship was nice.
Oh, man.
And, of course, we know about the Johnny Majors Classic Invitational. I know you'd be stunned to know Pitt and Tennessee are going to play this year in Rocky Top. And we've only been telling you about it for about, three, 4 months? That's now what it is.
Yeah.
Johnny Majors Classic.
That's it.
I like it.
High noon start on ESPN, by the way.
Home and home series.
You betcha.
Get it.
So Johnny Majors is number 50 on the list. Number 39.
Very, very humble that people recognized my achievements. Very, very nice people. Christian people, mom and dad are nice people.
Does he know you do the impression?
Probably.
Okay.
Danny's on the farm. He's on the farm. He's got hemp going on. He's got it going on. Danny's the man. 39 for Danny Ford.
There he is.
Danny Lee Ford.
Man, them hats right there.
Trucker hats.
Yeah.
Stylish.
They're back.
Going to spit on the field here. Going to go beat Nebraska.
Does
win the national
chew
title.
Chew anything right there?
Oh yeah. Of course. You think he does? Wait a minute. Not only did he have a chew in... And he was loaded for if we want to go in 15 overtimes, he'd be good to go. Danny Ford, 39th on the list. God bless, coach.
38 on the list. I'd love to have him on one day.
Well, if we get him off the farm.
All right.
Get him off the farm.
38, Dennis Erickson. Of course, coached a lot of places. National titles in 89 and 91 for Coach Erickson at Miami in his stint from 1989 to 1994. 179-96-1 all time was Dennis Erickson.
I would never have put Dennis Erickson in front of Danny Ford. Just read out the number of jobs Dennis Erickson had, Wes.
Been a lot of moving trucks.
I think we have enough time to get it in by 10 with Dennis Erickson.
Real quick, Idaho, Wyoming, Washington State, Miami, Oregon State, Idaho again.
Yeah.
Arizona State.
No, you're not putting him in front of Danny
Ford. Which Drew Brooks, I'm not even sure, recognizes.
You don't put him in front of Danny Ford.
That's it.
No way.
35, our colleague here at ACC Network, Coach Richt. Well done, sir. 26-13 in 3 years at Miami, 171-64.
Just started reading his book, by the way.
Yeah.
Done with Herb Streets, now I'm working on Rick's.
Yep.
But good for Coach, and we hope he's doing well.
Yep. Looking forward to seeing him with the huddle group.
By the way, can I give a real quick story? I mean, real quick.
Sure.
When I had the COVID deal last month, I got a postcard sent to me for Mark Richt, sent to my address here at the home, because, you know, again, I never leave the basement. And I go to open it because I see Mark, and I look at it again. It's Richt. I'm like, well, I'll just give this to Coach, you know, at the ACC. Of course, I had no chance to beat the ACC. So I get Rick's new address because he's made a move.
He's moved, yeah.
And I have no idea it's who the postcard's from. So I send it to Coach. Hey, I hope you're feeling well. This was sent by, you know, to me, for you, yada, yada. Turns out Mark, Coach Rick, sends me a note and goes, hey, Pack, I really appreciate you doing it. I got a note from Frank Beamer. So it was Beamer, who, by the way, we'll get to him on the list.
Yes.
Sending a note to Rick here at the house, but we forwarded it to him.
Pretty good.
Just thought I'd tie it all together since we're doing coaches.
Very nice. One slot ahead of Mark Richt at 34 is Jimbo Fisher, who, of course, won a national championship at Florida State, 83-23, and now 109-33 total, including his work at College Station.
Good coach. Knows how to put together Florida State fans. I know it didn't end the way you wanted it to, but he did bring you some serious hardware, and that 2013 team was good.
Legit.
Really good.
Yep. You betcha. 33 on the list. Another gentleman we lost in the last short time, Howard Schnellenberger. And 41-16 at Miami, 54-56-2 with Louisville. But it's not often you get a guy who built major football at two spots.
Yep. Great coach. May he rest in peace.
Yep.
Needs a statue. I said that the other day.
Yep.
Coach Schnellenberger with that pipe, man, he could coach him up, boy. I was there the night he beat Nebraska at the Orange Bowl. That was some kind of night.
Yep. What a nice man. Mm-hmm. All right, next on the list, 27.
Originally forgotten, later included by Bill Connelly when he put this list together. Frank Beamer, Virginia Tech.
You bet. 280, 143, and 4. But I think in coaching college football 101, his story is incredibly valuable to those that want to coach and those that want to be in athletic administration.
Amen.
I just think that Dave Brain's patience as the athletic director and encouraging and getting the support to Frank Beamer to be successful is really the secret sauce.
Yep, and this league has produced a number of all-time great coaches who got off to lousy starts, whose AD said, hey, I know there's a bunch of noise, just go do your job.
Mm-hmm.
And all you got to do is look at guys like Dean Smith, Mike Krzyzewski, Frank Beamer, just to get started. All-time greats. And, you know, you go look at their records after 3, 4, in case for Frank, 5 or 6 years, and there's no way in today's society they would have made it.
Yep.
And you know what? They turned out to be incredible coaches and leaders.
Yeah. All these guys, by the way, with the exception of the current guys, are College Football Hall of Famers. In fact, Mack Brown was a College Football Hall of Famer and went back to coaching.
That's right.
But Jimmy Johnson is 25, now just inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's a College Football Hall of Famer for 52-9 in 5 seasons at Miami. Don't forget the good work at Oklahoma State as well. 81-34-3 as a college head coach was Jimmy Johnson, Pack.
Impressive.
Woo!
Really good.
At both levels.
Yeah, I mean, he got it done, period.
Yep.
And still entertaining dude when you talk to him. And again, certainly worthy being in Canton addition to it.
Mack Brown is 21. Appalachian, Tulane, North Carolina, Part 1, Texas, North Carolina, Part 2. National title with the Longhorns, 259, 132, and 1. 84-56, and 1. And again, in the long game, 2-20 after his first 2 years.
That's right. Here we go again, right?
There's
great stories all over the place here.
Yeah. Another one on this list that probably doesn't come to mind because it's been many years since he was in the ACC, nearly 40 of them, or 50 of them, is Lou Holtz, who coached at NC State from 1972 to 1975, Arkansas, Minnesota, Notre Dame, South Carolina, and the College of William & Mary, of course. put 249 wins, 132 losses, 7 ties, and an 88 national title with the Irish.
Well, I've told this story 100 times. I was a big NC State fan growing up as a kid. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons for it was, of course, number 44 that played basketball. But I also enjoyed the football. That Veer option, the Bucky twins, oh, yeah. Ted Brown. You can go through the whole list. Lou Holtz used to do magic tricks. The first time I went to see him and speak, he did a magic trick. And I got hooked into magic, believe it or not, as a kid. That's how much I loved Lou Holtz growing up. Brilliant coach, great motivator, and, of course, won the national championship in 1988, the last time Notre Dame won it all.
That's right. Steve Spurrier's on this list at number 13. National title in 96 with Florida. Great Duke teams in the late 80s, 87 to 89. Finished it up at South Carolina. 228, 89, and 2. In the HBC's career.
Had him on the radio show to talk about Bobby Bowden.
Yeah.
And I let in, I said, Coach, I said, you know, looking back on your career, when you won it all at Duke, that still may be the most impressive thing you ever did. I know you won the national title at Florida and had great teams and turned it around at South Carolina. Actually, he replaced Lou Holtz at South Carolina and had terrific teams for a run there in Columbia, winning the SEC East 1 year. But when he won it at Duke, the way he did, brash, throwing it all over the yard, the quips, you know, got everybody on their edge. He's just one of the all-time great coaches. No question.
Yep. Now we go to the top 10, okay? Number 7 on the list is current coach Dabo Swinney. Now, meteoric rise is probably still an understatement, Pac. Commercial real estate to working for Tommy Bowden to being the interim head coach to 140-33 in 13 years with 2 national titles?
When I asked Bill Connolly, who put this list together when he joined the radio show, I said, was there a determining factor that elevated someone? There's got to be a category that trying to break ties. He said, you know what? When you won multiple national championships, put you in a different stratosphere. And that is exactly the case here. Dabo's got it going on, as we know. 2 national titles. I'd be very surprised if he ends his career with 2. Tiger fans are expecting even more hardware to come to Death Valley.
Yeah, play for a couple more, right?
That's right.
All right, number 3 on the list is Bobby Bowden. National titles in 93 and 99, 377, 129, and 4, and that includes 34 years at Tallahassee.
I'll go back to the interview with Bill Connolly. He said one of the hardest things he had to do to break the tie was Bobby Bowden at 3 and Dr. Tom Osborne at 4. He said that was a really difficult deal. But that stretch run of 14 years when you're in the top 4 every single year.
How can you not?
I mean, goodness gracious, how do you deal with that?
Yeah.
So Bobby Bowden, again, one of the all-time great people, incredible coaches. May he rest in peace as well.
Yeah, this was fun to do.
Yeah, great list.
Congratulations to Bill Connolly, by the way, because you get no love for any of this. You just make people mad.
That's right.
But the hard work and the research and all that stuff needs to be rewarded and noted. And so Bill, who does a great job, if you don't follow his work, I would suggest you do if you want to do a little bit of a deeper dive in college football. He does a great job putting things together that keep you kind of interested to a different level in games that you'll see each week.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Wes has been rubbing on Fuller. He's leaning up against him. He's good.
He's done.
The boys are done till 10:01. It's time to get to work, chase squirrels, and do what they do.
That's it.
Speaking of animals, our next guest is back just in time. We had Herb Street on yesterday, and this guy is displayed prominently in the book, which we did not discuss on air for the safety of others.
But let me also say we did find out in Kirk Herb Street's memoir, Out of the Pocket, this is the purveyor of the remote control and the front seat on the left on the game day bus. I mean, on the left, first seat.
Yeah.
And holder of the remote control, and when it goes down at one of the tracks, the volume goes up on the track, and everybody else goes down. Chris Felica, also co-host of the Bear and Stanford Steve podcast. Welcome back to Packer and Durham. It's good to see you, my man.
it's good to see you as well. And I think the main reason why I'm the purveyor of the remote controls is I think I am the only one sitting in the back of the bus who knows how to operate the remote controls properly and make sure we actually have sound and game. So I think by like intelligence by default, I think that's the only reason they trust me with that.
You know, Chris, it's always important to know your role, isn't it? I mean, you know, exactly. you don't need too much on the plate. Hey, you know what I can handle. Just get out of the way and get me some elbow room and make sure the ribs are really good and the beverages are really cold.
Good call.
And let's go kick this thing off. All right, now, how excited are you? I mean, we're all pumped up for the start of the season. But, I mean, you start getting up every day going, man, are we only like 11 days away from kickoff? Because it really is getting to be that time again.
It is, and I'm just excited to say, have fans back and have fans at our show, which is going to be great. We lost so much, I think, with the show. It was still fine. It was great to be on the road, but it was a different experience last year being out there without bands playing, without fans, and all the reaction in the demo field. But it's going to be great. And the great thing is, like, even the first week of the year on August 28th, you got a very intriguing Big Ten game. And then the first week of the year, obviously, we started right off with that mammoth tilt in Charlotte between Clemson and Georgia. But, yeah, we're really, really excited to get back at it this year.
All right, we're going to get to a couple of ACC notes here, but I'm going to play right to your strength at the start. De'Aaron King says he's 100%. They play Bama in week one. Look, give me your vibe on the Canes. I just want the emotion right here. I don't want any of the analytics. I don't want to hear any numbers or history. I just want raw emotion.
It's funny because that's one of like my storylines and thoughts as a whole for the ACC this year is Miami cannot let the result of that game, positive or negative, kind of dictate how they play the rest of the year. If they lose like they did to LSU a couple of years back and the season kind of spiraled out of control, they can't allow that to happen again. If they play Alabama closer or pull the shocking upset, you can't say, okay, we're undefeated now. We're going to go win the ACC because you still have North Carolina and Clemson potentially later in the year. But De'Aaron King being back and healthy is massive for this offense because you've got wide receivers there and Harley and some others who – they had some drop problems last year, so they need to improve on that. I think Mallory obviously will be a big part of the offensive game plan now. What worries me, though, is I just can't get that North Carolina game out of my head. You allow 780 yards, whatever it was, and it seemed like Carolina ran three plays the entire second half, and they couldn't stop it. And that was with a couple of defensive linemen who were drafted. But I'll give Manny Diaz a lot of credit. You see a lot of coaches and especially young coaches come in and kind of are afraid to like shake things up. Their offense stunk in 2019. You brought in a new, or your defense rather stunk. You brought in a new defensive coordinator. You brought in a new offensive coordinator and Rhett Lashley. Defense stunk last year. He's taken over the reins and you got a new coordinator. He wasn't afraid to say, hey, we have a real talent void here. Let's use the new resources with the portal to bring in guys who aren't going to disrupt the chemistry. And obviously, De'Aaron King was a big part of that. He's a guy who the team looks to. So I think you got to give Manny some credit for realizing some of the shortcomings on the team and on the staff and trying whatever he can to make it better. I'm optimistic. I think that Carolina game obviously is going to be the one that dictates who wins the Coastal and plays Clemson in the ACC title game.
Barry, you mentioned can't get that North Carolina game out of your head. We know Miami should be pretty good. We know North Carolina should be pretty good. Are they getting closer to Clemson? Big picture before we see anybody play. What do you think?
I think North Carolina is. And I think we saw that a couple of years ago when they played Clemson down to the wire in Chapel Hill with how well North Carolina has recruited. But Miami had an example of that last year, and they went to Clemson, and they got blown out. But I think if you look at North Carolina, tied with Notre Dame in the second half last year, led Texas A&M in the Orange Bowl with a team that is going to – that's a Carolina team that's going to be on the field this year. They couldn't close it out. Downs, I think, is going to be an absolute star. I think some of the losses are a little bit overblown, and I think this defense has a real chance to be very, very good. And with Hal back at quarterback, with all of his offensive linemen, if Corrales can come back and Downs is that player, you still have to keep in mind, like, what Clemson did the last couple of years, last two times they stepped foot in the College Football Playoff, they allowed, 900 passing yards and 11 touchdowns to to LSU and Ohio State. If Carolina's skill position guys are indeed that good and Howell gets time, I'll be very curious to see potentially what would happen if it is a North Carolina Clemson ACC title, because I do think the gap between North Carolina and Clemson is closer than what, say, Wisconsin or whomever you want to see, Penn State in the Big Ten. Ohio State is a much bigger favorite, in my opinion, to win the Big Ten than Clemson is to win the ACC.
All right, let's get beyond that layer of the brands, if you will, or the ones in the top 25 in the preseason. We're curious about NC State. I know they're in Clemson's division. I'm curious about Boston College. I'm curious about Pittsburgh. We'll see about Virginia Tech and Virginia. Which of those schools catches your eye?
BC, I think, is a really intriguing story. They kind of seem like the it team this year, just because of what Jeff Hafley did, improving the quality of the defense last year. They have a game changer quarterback now, which for the first time, what appears in a long time. You get Flowers back at wide receiver. Colby White returns from injury. This is a program that you haven't won eight games since 2009. By the way, a trivia question: the last ranked team that Boston College beat was that USC team coached by Sark. In 2014, they lost 20 straight games to ranked teams, 1-31 in their last 32 games against ranked teams. Can they step up and get that like program reaffirming win? But I think they have a really good chance to end that streak and then that streak of winning achieving eight wins in a year. So BC, I think, is a real buzz team. And now if they do exceed those expectations, how long can they hang on to Jeff Hafley?
Oh, see, there you go. All right. Now, wait a second. Two things here. Point of procedure on Packer and Durham, we don't do trivia, right, Pack?
Well, you do. No, we do bar bets.
You do bar bets.
I do bar bets.
We do. Packer does bar bets, not
I'm
trivia.
For that, too.
Yeah, well, there, see, that's the win for
that
you.
That was proven in Herb Street's book, by the way. I don't know if you got the chapter 16.
Chapter 16 in the book.
Hey, I laughed out loud.
Buy the book. That's all we're saying. Buy the book for chapter 16.
I want to go to another team, Bear, and I've said this on our show. I think the hardest team to read in the ACC, they could win eight, they could win three or four. I think it's Louisville. I just can't wrap my arms around Louisville. I'm not sure what I'm going to get. I hope they have a great year. I'm a big Satterfield fan. So what's your take on the Cardinals? Help me out on this one.
As am I. I thought when he came in and the program kind of weeded the end of the ugly Bobby Petrino era out, I thought by this year you would see this being a team on the ascent. But the offseason, I just don't get a good vibe at all. They turned the ball over a ton last year, but like I said, since the issues are a little bit deeper, you get Kentucky, UCF, Ole Miss in the non-conference. You hit on earlier, BC and NC State are going to be better. The offensive line has had a ton of problems since 2016. No team in the country has allowed more sacks, and the offense struggled last year against good defenses, and that was with Javion Hawkins, Des Fitzpatrick, and Atwell. Like, is Cunningham the guy? They brought in McCaffrey, and he lasted like a day. So I have a lot of questions about Louisville, and I tend to lean more on the closer to the five or six wins than seven or eight for Louisville this year.
All right, two things here. One I want to get to is, you know, the landscape and the value of the landscape nationally here as well as anybody. Mark and I have spent a lot of time in the last, 3 weeks talking about the early games, the Pitt at Tennessee, the NC State at Mississippi State, the Rutgers at Syracuse, the Missouri at BC game. Yeah. How valuable are those games, Bear, for the ACC's name, image, and likeness nationally this year?
Massive, because I think the national perspective on the ACC, and you read it every year in the preseason when people put Clemson right into the playoffs. Oh, they don't play any ranked teams in the ACC. The conference is, it's Clemson and everybody else. So they really need to build up some, if BC beats a comparable team in the SEC in Missouri. That's a big win. If NC State builds on what Dave Duren's team did last year and that defense continues to get better and they get steady quarterback play again, that's a massive win. So all of those games, I think, matter tremendously. We talked about this a lot in recent years about the Pac-12 as well. Like, they need to win some of those early season games. Washington needs to go to Michigan and play well, if not win. UCLA needs to compete potentially with LSU, getting the Tigers on their home field. So, with the ACC and the Pac-12 especially, those early season non-conference games definitely matter in building the perception of the league, which can only help further bolster the cases for those teams at the top of the conference to make the college football playoff.
Huh. Chris, I'm a little ticked off that you tried to showcase all those Emmys in your background. You know, that really doesn't impress us at all. It really doesn't. But, hey, if it makes it you feel better, hey, you do what you got to do. I'm just going to say.
Well, we literally just moved. I just started unpacking boxes, and I'm like, all right, let me just throw them here. Clean this row out and put them there. No, I've been fortunate to obviously work on game day and some other projects. That I had a little bit of a run, and then like some great events, but they make a good talking point. Don't forget about the Zenyatta mask all the way to the right up there too of the final Emmys there.
We have always found here at Packer and Durham in the studio that it makes a great doorstop. It really does.
a good face scratcher for the cats on the wall.
Yeah. Actually, to be honest with you, here's how we roll. If I got an itch on my back, I get Kieran Shelton's 1-2, actually 3 now, national championship. So I get field hockey sticks from North Carolina, and I just do this. I mean, I'm telling you, we got the best. You think you're cool in that? You think you're cool in that RV with the remote and Herb Street eating ribs for 5 hours? You got nothing on the basement, big man. I'm just gonna tell you that right now. Nothing.
Are those sharp? Do they have a sharp enough edge on the back there to really get a good scratch?
Well, let me tell you something. If I didn't have to unplug everything, I'd go get this Florida State javelin over the door, and I'd really show you something to get the itch over with.
That'll work.
Let me tell you something. If you and Herb Street had that Florida State javelin when you guys were on your hands and knees looking for those lost winning tickets, you'd have had no problem ruining those $5,000 suits.
When you're reading chapter 16, just I want everybody to have the image of mint julep residue, rain splatter, mud, just on the ground in the box of Churchill Downs, searching for crumbled up what Kirk thought were losing tickets. So just have that image. It was an unbelievable day.
Hey, let me just tell you this: we got 25 minutes from Herbie yesterday on the show. 25. Book-driven minutes on the show, and we didn't get anything about chapter 16. Yeah. We didn't get any chapter 16 yesterday from Herb Street, just so you know. You have sold more books today on chapter 16 than just about anybody I know.
You know, we try to keep Herb Street's image intact for 25. Then we got to the good stuff when you were on today. That's how we rolled today on that show.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. He's a little more than the old dad image that he wants to let out. I just get him out there the first Saturday in May or on a Saturday afternoon in the bus when the lights come down. I'm in charge of the remotes. He's in charge of the AC and the lights.
There you go.
Lights come down. AC goes down to about 64.
Bring
your sweater if it's a little. But we like Backpack said earlier, know your role, know your role. Know what you're being in charge of and excel at it.
That's exactly
all right, Felica. Right. You got one job when you come to Charlotte for Georgia Clemson. Mm-hmm. If you don't call my man here and get your restaurant recommendation,
we'll hook you up.
Now, if you don't call Pack,
we're gonna need one.
If you and Reese don't take the proverbial bull by the horns here and get your restaurant situation worked out with Epic the Pac-Man, y'all have missed out. That's all I'm saying.
By the way, Bear, do you guys know who the game picker is for Clemson, Georgia?
I have no idea. We're actually having our little game day breakout call later this afternoon. So I don't know who they're working on. If they have somebody in mind already or not.
Excuse me. Whoa, Bear.
Wait, hold on.
You can...
Hey, Herbie, what's up?
I messed with you. I thought you were going to say, "Hey, Drew Gallagher."
Drew, yeah. Hey, Gallagher, you call Pac-Man, he'll get you fed, and he'll get your pickers.
So we'll give you some. We'll give you some bad picks too. It'll be really good. It'll be outstanding. I can assure you.
Hey, Chris, great to see you. Safe travels. Looking forward to the fall, my man. Be well.
Yeah, as are we. We'll talk again soon. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Chris Felica, College Game Day, co-host of the Barron Stanford Steve Pod, which, by the way, if you enjoy college, you enjoy Billy's Emmy.
Billy's Emmy. It is Billy. Right there.
No,
Packer. Yeah. Look. Yeah. Look. Get a tight shot up. Packer and Durham. Our Emmy.
Is that a price tag on the bottom, by the way?
No, that's made in China.
Oh, stop that. Give it here.
No.
Give
it here. You didn't want it. It's mine now. You don't get it.
You make it up.
This is the real thing.
Every time you talk about it, you make it up. Oh, I know it's the real thing.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment of a Wednesday show. Got a couple of things that we need to put finishing touches to, some storylines.
Yep.
Including an interesting race for quarterback at Northwestern.
Yeah. Is Dave Revson available to handle this story? Or
you know, Revson's on the road.
Yeah, I know.
His camp tours.
Yeah, doing the camp tours.
He's a Northwestern guy. But Northwestern had kind of an interesting deal. Former Clemson quarterback Hunter Johnson got the gig over transfer Ryan Helinski from South Carolina just to continue the tradition that if it's football season, Clemson is going to beat South Carolina.
Yeah.
Again, even if it's in another league. So there you go.
So for my man who called yesterday,
our SEC fan to straighten us out.
Yeah, who called
John
or somebody like that. Yeah, who called and wanted to tell us everything that was going on. Yeah. So there you go.
By the way, I've got some Clemson fans.
Yeah.
Who tweeted and emailed me and everything else. Pack, I heard you guys talk about the alliance. It'd be nice to finally have a real USC come to Death Valley. I got that. I must have gotten that a half dozen times yesterday. Nice. If you guys go tie into Pac-12 and the Big Ten, it'd be nice to finally get the real USC in Death Valley.
It's always good to have it in August.
It never ends, man.
Not in August.
That Palmetto State, man, they just don't simply like each other.
Women's soccer in the ACC starts tomorrow in earnest. 13 of the 14 schools in action tomorrow. BC, NC State, Pitt, Washington, North Carolina on the East Coast, Wake, Florida State, Syracuse, all at home. Get you going tomorrow.
And Florida State, of course, preseason pick in the league. But you know North Carolina, Virginia will be loaded as well. Always a great soccer league.
Duke, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, Clemson, Louisville, all in action tomorrow, as are the Cavaliers. Georgia Tech does not have women's soccer. That's why they're only 14.
Here's a bar bet for you right there.
Okay, speaking of Notre Dame in action in women's soccer, shout out to Pro Football Focus. Mike Renner took to social media and listed his top five ACC prospects in the upcoming NFL draft. Only one problem.
Yeah, might want to look a little deeper than that. It would have been really cute last year if you'd have gone there. But you know what? You're not going to believe this, but Notre Dame isn't in the league,
which would include
the Atlantic Coast Conference in football.
They have returned off their one-year loan back to Independence.
Yeah, Kyle Hamilton is a tremendous player, but I guarantee you he won't receive a single vote for any ACC award in 21.
No. Sam Howell, Ike Ekwonu, Andrew Booth, Justin Ross round out the top five ACC prospects.
Can we just get to kickoff? I mean, you know what happens? We get into list season, and people just kind of lose their minds a little bit. We're about, 2 weeks away? We're just getting there, man. We're 2 weeks from tomorrow, we'll be in Raleigh with Tuffy.
Thanks to Andy Staples. Thanks to Sean Bedford. Thanks to Chris Felica for being on the show. Tomorrow, the ACC football road trip in Atlanta tonight. Tomorrow, it's in Winston-Salem. And on this show tomorrow, championship quarterback, Jacksonville Bulls legend, Riley Skinner, new inductee in the Wake Forest Hall of Fame.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.